story is told, and Martin Luther recounts it in his biography, that when he was called upon as a young Catholic priest to administer his first communion, that he became so overwhelmed with how unworthy he was and how fearful he was that the cup literally trembled and shook in his hand, spilling some of the wine. He felt that he would be condemned for daring to give communion in such an unworthy state. You know, oftentimes church attendance suffers on communion Sabbath. There may be a lot of reasons why, you know, that takes place, but it seems to be rather somewhat predictable and somewhat consistent. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about churches at large. You can kind of see it almost anywhere you go. If it's communion Sabbath, attendance seems to be down a little bit. Maybe the service runs a little longer. Maybe the children get fussy. But I think there may be some other reason, maybe a deeper reason. I've had people say to me over the years, I just feel uncomfortable at a communion service. I feel unworthy. I feel like I shouldn't be there. What does it mean to be worthy or unworthy when it comes to partaking of the Lord's Supper? Was Luther, was this young monk who said if there was ever a monk that would get to heaven by what he did, I would be the one? Was it him, his type of behavior that should characterize all of us? Remember, he thought he was so unworthy he shouldn't even be there. In our scripture this morning, Becky read regarding John the Baptist. As he was referring to Christ, John said that he was not even worthy to untie Christ's sandals. Yet he baptized Jesus. Paul called himself the very least of all the saints. Yet close to his death, he said that he had lived before God in all good conscience. If we want to find out a little bit more about what it means to be unworthy or worthy in terms of the communion supper, we need to turn to the chapter which deals with it most explicitly in Scripture, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're drawn to that text which most of us have read at one time or another, where we read, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Now that is a serious statement, is it not? That is a serious statement, and no wonder some people wonder and think about this and come to the conclusion that they're just not worthy enough to prepare. No wonder people might feel uncomfortable when they come to celebrate the Lord's Supper or observe the Lord's Supper and partake of the emblems. What does that mean? Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood. Well, we need a little context here, don't we? We need to go back to earlier part of this chapter where Paul tells the church in regards to the Lord's Supper. In the following directives, he says in verse 17, "I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good." In the first place, "I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval." But verse 20 says this, "When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat." Okay, what was going on here? Paul is very displeased with the Corinthian practice here. He suggests that you think you're coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, but that's not what you're doing. And I have no praise for you in this regard. Well, what were they doing? It was a practice of the early Christian church to hold a communal meal in conjunction with the Lord's Supper. You remember that in the upper room, Jesus modeled the Lord's Supper after the Passover meal, didn't he? They were celebrating the Passover together, he and the disciples there in that upper room. And it was there that he instituted these new emblems. This bread is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And those two emblems then became woven into the ancient Passover ritual, the Passover meal, the Passover story. And it highlighted the truth that Christ now became our Passover lamb. The Passover meal took on an entirely different meaning. And so the early church would practice a communal meal and would oftentimes be kind of followed by the Lord's Supper. And this practice apparently continued until almost the 4th century, where at that point it began to be separated and communion began to be a separate event, a separate sacrament, and it was not associated with a regular meal. Now, this communal meal, which was known in the early churches as the Agape Feast, was actually patterned after a type of meal that was even performed during Roman and Greek times apart from religion. The closest thing we can come to it is that they had potluck meals. Everybody brought food, pulled it together, and they would eat and fellowship with one another. But something was going wrong in the Corinthian church regarding to this. Let's go back to verse 20. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. Why? For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. So we get the idea here, the meal starting, but not everybody's there yet. And the people who brought their food begin to eat it immediately. Still people haven't arrived yet. And if you read carefully, you get the impression that those who came first and ate to their heart's content and actually overate to the point where they became intoxicated and gluttonous were those that probably were the most well off in the church. They brought plenty for themselves. But they ate so much of it that some people remained hungry during this communal meal. Paul says, if that's all you're doing is coming to fill your belly, don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. Then he goes on to describe what the Lord's Supper is all about. I receive from the Lord that which I pass on to you. That the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and said, this is my body. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. After saying that, then he comes to that text that we're so familiar with. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood. Quite simply, what was going on here? What was going on here was a complete disregard and a lack of discernment as to what the Lord's Supper really meant. And the fact that they were discriminating against one another, that they were failing to share equally and therefore portray the fellowship which should exist in the Christian church. That fellowship, the Christian church was to have a unity that was not to be seen anywhere else in the Judeo-Roman Empire. The church was supposed to demonstrate the unity, the oneness that existed nowhere else, and the Corinthians were failing to do that. And so quite frankly then, what Paul was saying is, if you come to the Lord's Supper and it's just a meal for you, and you're not aware, and you do not discern that this is the Lord's body, the symbol, that this is the shed blood of the Lord, and that it was shed and it was broken for you so that you might all be one with God and one with one another. If you dare to go into the Lord's Supper in that kind of state of mind, then you may be guilty of unworthily partaking. He certainly was not meaning that if you feel unworthy, you should stay away. Quite the opposite. It is those who feel unworthy that need to be there. It's for them. It's precisely for them. The ones that are in danger of being unworthy are the ones that aren't even aware of it. Not even aware. Verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. A man therefore ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. All that's simply saying is, if you are aware this morning that you are a sinner in need of God's grace, this is where you should be. Quite simply. If you are aware that Jesus died for you, and you are aware of the tremendous cost that he paid for your salvation, for my salvation, you are worthy to be here this morning. There's an old story. About a man in Scotland who was feeling very unworthy as he was there partaking of communion that morning, thinking upon his sins and thinking upon his failures and how many times he had failed the Lord. He dared not reach forward and take of the cup or the bread. And as he was thinking this way, he noticed a young teenage girl just in a pew or two in front of him, almost breaking down in tears. And suddenly it came to him what it was all about. And he reached forward in a loud whisper. He said, "Take it, lassie. Take it. It's for sinners." Praise God, this morning we can take it because it's for sinners. You are worthy because Christ made you worthy.